Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 45, PCV system. What is it? What does it do? Well, first of all, okay, PCV, what does that mean? It means positive crankcase ventilation. What that means is that this system applies a very slight, typically a slight negative pressure or vacuum to the crankcase. Okay, person could say, well, why is that important? Every internal combustion engine, and certainly ones in a car anyway, produce a certain amount of what's called blow-by gases. In other words, these are gases that originally start within the combustion chamber as the piston's coming up on the compression stroke and the air-fuel mixture is being compressed, and then the spark happens and this mixture fires or burns at a very high rate of speed. Some of those gases, including oil vapor, are going to go by the piston piston and rings, a very small amount. There's also, because the oil is, of course, splashing around within the inside of the engine, and it's obviously hot, a certain amount of it will vaporize or produce oil vapors. So these vapors are internally within the engine, floating around, moving around, so on and so forth. Prior to 1967 model year, which is when any kind of a PCV system was first introduced, basically the system was what was called an open draft tube, or a road tube was another name for it. Essentially, now realize these vapors have to escape the engine, okay? They have to come out of the engine somehow, otherwise it would build a positive pressure inside of the engine, and essentially this vapor would build up enough pressure to where it would start leaking out through gaskets and seals, which is not a good thing. It would also mean that on the downstroke of each of the pistons, they're having to push against this oil vapor, which is now becoming pressurized. So it's always been, you know, mechanical engineers and engine engineers have realized, you know, from day one, well, these vapors have to be allowed to come out of the engine. But prior to 1967, we had what was called open draft tubes. And basically, it was literally a tube that went down the side of the engine. It typically stopped around the bottom of the engine area. Obviously, it didn't go all the way to the ground. But essentially, it allowed these oil vapors to simply go out into the atmosphere. Prior to 1967, we didn't really concern ourselves with it, at least as far as the United States is concerned, from a smog standpoint. Okay. And then they realized, you know, maybe we should start controlling these vapors. And instead of letting them go into the atmosphere, we should figure out some sort of a system where they are reintroduced back into the air intake, into the engine, to be burned and hopefully burn properly and go out the exhaust as far as whatever emissions are left over. Okay, so prior to 1967, there literally was no, as far as, again, in the U.S., there was literally no really certainly government-mandated emission controls on a car in any way, shape, or form. Okay, that's not to say that some of the manufacturers did have, some kind of a PCV system, but essentially it was the first, quote-unquote, smog system that was, you know, to help reduce emissions. Okay, so that's basically what's happening with it and why we have to have it. The thing, of course, that has gotten interesting over time because of, you know, CAFE standards and obviously emission output reduction that we're all looking to have cleaner, better air, as certainly at least in this country anyway. The PCV systems have become much more elaborate than what they used to be. I mean, for a long time after we had, you know, we went away from road draft tubes and we went to some sort of PCV system, for a long time it was basically just a simple valve that would go into like a valve cover or a rubber grommet in the valve cover, and these is where most of the vapors would be forming and kind of tending to stay because, the vapors become heated. Of course, hot air rises, in this case, oil vapor as well. So there was some sort of a valve, PCV valve, that would have a hose connected to it that would go to the intake manifold, since there is vacuum produced, negative pressure produced within the manifold, intake manifold. And so this valve would control the amount of vapors that were allowed to be drawn back into the engine under vacuum into the intake manifold. So it was a relatively simple system. And in theory, it's still doing the same thing today. The difference, though, is that nowadays that system, the way of controlling those vapors, has become way, way, way more elaborate. Okay. I can certainly, and I will be speaking specifically about BMW here in a moment, but essentially a lot of the cars have gotten to where before they were basically sending all of the oil vapor and maybe even what would be considered extremely small droplets of oil were being fed back into the engine to be burned. Nowadays, what they're doing is there's some kind of an oil separator device, whether it be a cyclonic separator or some kind of a filtering system or something to that effect, where they're actually taking the oil vapors that also has oil droplets in it, and they're separating the oil as best possible out of the vapor, okay, and the oil droplets, and those are fed back into the oil pan as actual oil droplets, and then what's left is literally just air that has oil, you know, extremely fine oil vapor in it, and that's what's fed back to the engine to be, again, burned, and in some respects, we start this process over again. But the systems themselves have become way, way more elaborate. Again, talking about BMW, if we get talking about, you know, regular non-turbocharged cars versus turbocharged BMWs, the system on the turbocharged is capable of not only having negative pressure applied to the crankcase, but also potentially positive pressure as well. It depends on the driving, what's happening right at that moment in time, whether the car is under boost, you know, so on and so forth. So from the turbocharged car scenario, the system is a lot more elaborate because it's capable of both negative and positive pressures being applied to the crankcase. A naturally aspirated or non-turbocharged car is still operating kind of more simply, where it's simply applying a very slight negative pressure to the crankcase. Okay. The issue that how this system can go bad is typically there's the valves they use now to control this flow of oil vapor are typically diaphragm type valves. And what can happen is the diaphragm can get a pinhole leak in it or it can split. And so what typically happens is now instead of applying a very slight negative or vacuum to the crankcase, it goes to full manifold vacuum. Okay, we're talking about like having a vacuum cleaner attached to the to the valve cover. Okay, so it does what's called over scavenge the crankcase vapors to the point where it's producing a vacuum within the engine internally. And what ends up happening potentially is a customer, especially at idle or just off idle, they'll start hearing this weird, it's almost like a squeal. I've heard people think it was a bad water pump bearing, but it's essentially kind of like a kind of a noise, for want of a better example of it. But it can sound like a bearing noise. I've had people where they had no idea what it was, obviously. And so what's happening is now the engine's trying to draw outside air in through any of the seals of the engine. Typically, it's either the rear crankshaft seal, front crankshaft seal, so on and so forth. Yes, it can actually damage those seals. Although, frankly, I've never really seen that happen too much on a BMW. Okay, but that's not to say that it can't happen. So, and of course, the service engine soon light will come on, and typically the engine can start to idle rough. If you allow this to keep going, or if it's really over scavenging the crankcase a lot, you're getting excessive oil vapors that are being burned by the engine. So now you start getting a bluish white smoke out the back, again, especially at idle, or maybe if you let the car idle for a minute and then you kind of rev it, and this huge, you know, boof cloud of bluish white smoke will come out the back, and then maybe it'll clear up. That's all oil that's being fed, too much oil that's being fed back into the engine. And over time, again, if you do nothing about it, it can start to oil foul the spark plugs. Also, your catalytic converters are now working harder to try to catalyze this oil vapor because it's excessive. Okay. So it can start to tax your catalytic converters, which is not a good thing either. Okay. Years ago, again, if we're going to talk specifically about BMWs, they went from the system being essentially a very simple orifice inside of a valve, inside of a hose that went from the valve cover to the air intake. Okay. Nowadays, if we're going to talk about, let's say, early 2000 type systems, there's a diaphragm type valve that's mounted typically, like if it's an inline six cylinder engine, it's underneath the intake manifold, this diaphragm type valve. It also incorporates the oil separator. There's a number of vacuum hoses and hoses that go to it. And again, when it goes bad, it's the same thing. It can make this noise, or the car will have a rough idle. Customer will notice service engine soon light is on. Essentially what it is, it's an internal vacuum leak is what it is. Okay. So it's not that hard to diagnose. If a shop has hopefully what's called a digital manometer, which is basically a pressure gauge that can measure very, very extremely low pressures, both negative and positive. A digital one is more accurate. And you essentially take an oil cap for a BMW and you modify it to be able to connect this gauge to it. And you can take readings, and BMW does have specifications for what that crankcase pressure is supposed to be. Okay. And it varies from engine type to engine type. But regardless of how elaborate the system is, on the V8s, it goes from being where the valve to control the PCV is mounted on the back of the intake valve. On later model cars, it's mounted on top of the valve cover. When I say later model, I mean, again, like, you know, 2000 up through maybe 2006, 2010, something like that. And then certainly, again, with turbocharging, it became way more elaborate. A lot of the cars now, the inline six-cylinder engines and the four-cylinder engines on the real late-model BMWs, this whole system is mounted internally within the valve cover. So it goes bad. If it goes bad, you're replacing the entire valve cover. And it's plastic, and it's not cheap. It can be $600, $700, $800 just for the part, let alone the labor to replace it. So it can get expensive. It's like I say, it's actually from a smog type system, it's the oldest system there is. There's really no way of getting around it per se. The system itself has been around for a long, long time, obviously. But that's basically what's happening, is that the system is there to control oil vapors that are produced internally within the engine, and they can't be allowed just to go out into the atmosphere, so they do have to be reburned. And like I say, obviously some of those vapors are going to turn right back into crankcase vapors, and, you know, around and around we go. But it is certainly, it does help to obviously reduce emissions. We don't want to have, you know, unburned hydrocarbons or unburned gas going into the atmosphere. It does definitely help to reduce total emissions. So that is what a PCV system does, and what it is. This is, every car has it, regardless of the way it works or the way it's designed. Every car has it. BMW has their own way of doing it, as far as the actual layout of the system. And other cars, some are more elaborate, some are less elaborate, some are relatively simple to get to, and other ones are a pain in the butt to get to. So it's just the way it is, depending upon the car. So that's about it on this one. Kind of a quickie. Hopefully it's been, helped you increase your knowledge of your car and you found it enlightening. If you ever want to get a hold of me via email, it's bkpodcasts5@gmail.com. I am also on LinkedIn. And again, you know, any comments, I mean, if you got this through iTunes, Spotify, or Podbean.com, certainly I appreciate any comments or anything. And again, if you have any ideas for a subject I haven't covered, you know, by all means, let me know. And if I need to do research to put together a podcast, I certainly will. I don't have a problem with that. And that way we'll all know. So appreciate your time and listening. I hope you have a great day and a fantastic evening. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.